God, I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your anointing and your call upon me to minister your word. I thank you for that, Father. I count that an honor. I count it an honor. And Father, we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Praise God. Let's go back again to the book of Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20. And I've been ministering along these lines for a while, but I really haven't finished. So I want to go, I want to continue here. Verse 20 identifies who we are in Christ Jesus. Verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I am reading, I'm reading from the New Living, New King James version of the Bible, this New King James Bible that I have in my hand. But I want you to make this personal confession. Those of you that are here in the sanctuary and those of you that are watching live stream, I want you to make this confession. I'm sure you have your Bibles with you or you have your tablet with you. And if you do, if you switch it to the New King James Version, or if you want to go with the original King James, that's fine too. No problem there. I just happen to have the New King James. But I want us to make this confession together. And I want those of you in the sanctuary, I'm going to count to three, and then we're going to say it together nice and loud. This is going to be our personal confession. Amen. If you're born again, this is your confession this evening. Those of you that are watching live stream, I want you to say it right along with us on the count of three. All right. One, two, three, all together. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. Oh, that was great, wasn't it? Amen. This is our personal confession. This is our personal confession. Amen. And if you're not saved, you can get saved right now. Right now where you are, you can ask Jesus in your heart and go ahead and make this confession right along with us. Let's do that again. All right. Let's do that again on three. One, two, three. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Just lift your hand and thank him for that, will you? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So it says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I've been teaching a good bit here on the walk of faith, the walk of faith, the life of faith. Amen. It is vital to your spiritual walk. You hear me? It is vital. Faith is vital. Matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, folks, don't try to argue with me on that. I didn't write the Bible. It was in there when I got here. Amen. It was in there when I got here. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what the Bible is saying in the sixth verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews is, without faith in God, without faith in His Word, it is impossible to please Him. We can't see Him. We can't see Him with our natural eye, but we must believe that He is. And we must believe that He is a rewarder to us who diligently seek Him, who diligently walk by faith. We don't see some things yet. We don't feel some things yet. But we believe what He said, and therefore we choose to walk according to what we believe. Walk according to what He has said here in this Bible. Amen. And that walk begins. That walk begins when we surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and we invite Him into our heart as our Lord and Savior. We begin a walk of faith with Him. We receive Him by faith. We can't see Him, but we know He lives on the inside of us. Amen. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Too many times we try to get our head involved in it, and we get confused. This is a spiritual thing. We receive Him by faith. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So this life, according to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, this life that we live in the flesh, it is a faith life. This is a faith walk. We believe in our God. We trust Him. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I know I covered this last week, but I took you to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I want to go back there again. That's where we were last week. Oh, I think we ended up there last week. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We have so much going on right now. There's so much going on in the world. There's so many distractions in the world. There's so much deception in the world. That we must be strong in our faith in God. We must be strong in our commitment to God. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Now, in verse 4, let me correct myself. In chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, verse 1, chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, verse 1, you probably remember it from last week. It says, now the Spirit, now the Spirit here is the Holy Spirit, okay? The Spirit here is the Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit expressly or explicitly says that in the latter times, in the last days, how many of you know that's where we are? Yeah. Hallelujah. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter days, some will depart from the faith. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. I believe the King James Version say devils. Same thing. Anything that pulls you away from the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told to watch out for. Anything that tries to weaken or destroy your faith, watch out for it. That's a doctrine of devils or demons. Just trying to destroy your faith. Hallelujah. Let me read verse 2. It says, speaking lies Let me read verse 1 and 2 together. Okay, y'all still with me?
Amen.
All right, 1 and 2 together. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, you can get to the place, and please listen to me good, you can get to the place to where things don't bother you anymore. Now, I've been born again a long time. I've been walking with the Lord a long time. I've met a lot of people. I've been a few places. I've met a whole lot of Christians. And I think I told you this last week. I know a few. Thank God it's a few. I know a few that have departed from the faith. They walked away from the Lord. Some of them were deceived. See, it's important. Listen to me. Please grab a hold of this. Our walk with God is not a joke. This is very, very serious, because this determines our eternity. This little small space of time that we have here on the earth, and you know, I don't care if you live to be 120, 130, 140, 150. I don't know anybody that lived in recent times that has lived that long. But even if you did, that wouldn't be a drop in the bucket. That wouldn't even be a drop in the barrel. That wouldn't even be a drop in the water tank compared to all eternity. But yet, listen to me, yet this little short space of time that we have here, God has given us this time to make a decision as to where we are going to spend eternity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that decision is made concerning his son, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that decision is made concerning his son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, see, that word whosoever, that's John 3:16. Whosoever is there. Which means that all of us have a choice. We have an individual choice. We can choose to receive him or we can choose to reject him. But here's the thing. Whatever our choices are, we got to live with the consequences. Amen. That whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Glory to God. We don't have to perish. We can have everlasting life. And we get this everlasting life through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where our faith begins, with him. Amen? It begins with him. So, but the word of God tells us that the Holy Spirit's already said it. How many of you know the Holy Spirit always tell the truth?
Amen.
He always tells the truth. So he's already spoken. The Spirit of God's already spoken and said that in the last days, there are going to be some that depart from the faith. But here's the good thing about that. We have a choice in the matter. It don't have to be you and it don't have to be me. We make our own individual choices. And my choice is to stay with Christ Jesus. My choice is to walk with him. Amen. How about you? How about you? Glory to God. My choice is to walk with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we have to understand, though, that the devil's goal, his goal is to weaken your faith and to eventually destroy your faith. Let me tell you something, parents. Listen to me good. Parents out here, teach your children the ways of God at home. Build a foundation under them at home. They may not be interested, or seem not to be interested. Teach them anyway. Teach them anyway. Teach them the things of God. Hallelujah. Our children, we would teach them and pray with them. And of course, me, while we were praying, I'd always have one eye cracked. And I'd see them sometimes grinning at each other. But I'm so glad to be able to say today that all my children are born again. That means a lot to me and their mom. Means a lot to me and their mom that they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Praise the name of the Lord. Because there's so much going on out here that's trying to get their attention. And there's subtle things that's happening, trying to get your child's attention and trying to pull him away from God and trying to deny the very existence of God. Well, I'm telling you right now, there's no man smart enough to put all this together, to hang the sun out in space and having it at just the right distance so we all don't burn up or freeze to death. Think about it. The sun is just hanging just at the right distance from the earth. And then there's the moon hanging at just the right distance from the earth. Let me tell you, man didn't put it there. And it didn't fall in place by chance. It just didn't happen by chance. God put it there. God Almighty put it there. The sun comes up every morning and goes down every evening. We have day and we have night. Now, depending on where you live on the globe, you might have at some times during the year more day than you do night. But nevertheless, at some point in time, you have day and then you have night. That didn't just happen. That didn't just happen. Praise God. And I could go on and on, but we're going to move here on here. But what I'm trying to get across to you is don't allow anything or anyone to steal your faith or warp your faith. Don't be deceived. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't allow yourself to be deceived. Hallelujah. Because the devil wants to steal your faith. He wants to weaken your faith, whatever he can do. Now, we already know that one of the ways he tried to do that is through fear. And we've talked about this a lot. Amen. Through fear. I want to tell you something. This coronavirus, this COVID-19, have tested a lot of people's faith. Well, I hope you come out of it smelling like a rose. Hallelujah. Still trusting God right on through it. Amen. I mean, we are responsible people. We're not going to go and do anything stupid, anything crazy. You know, let me tell you something. As a child of God, I don't have anything to prove. Let me say this a little different way. I'm not trying to impress anybody. Like, ooh, look at me. Look at how much faith I got. See, the devil tried to get Jesus to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Did he do it? No, he didn't do it. Because he knew who he was. And he didn't have to prove anything to the devil or anybody. He knew who he was. So he didn't listen to the devil and jump off the pinnacle of the temple. We know who we are in Christ Jesus. We know who we are in Christ Jesus. But we don't have to try to impress anybody. Oh, look at me. Look at how much faith I got. No, just walk the walk. Talk the talk. Live the word. Talk the word of God. Amen. And obey God. My job as a Christian and my job as a minister is not to impress anybody. It is to please God. And to do all that I can to help humanity in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But we must not allow fear to grip our lives and paralyze us to the point that we become useless and ineffective because we are, as said around here sometime around this area, you know, because we are scared to death. I hope you don't make that confession, but it's said a lot. Trust God. Don't allow fear in your life. Amen. Praise God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." You know it. Many of you as part of this church, you know it because you've heard me say it so many times. And I love repeating it because I want it to get down in your spirit. I want it to get on the inside of you. Amen. Not just hearing it only, but getting it on the inside of you. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Everybody say power.
Power.
And love. Everybody say love.
Love.
And a sound mind.
And a sound mind.
Point at your head and say a sound mind.
A sound mind.
Out there, point at your head and say sound mind.
Sound mind.
That's what God has given us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. But if the devil can keep you in fear, now you're paralyzed and you're ineffective against him, and you can't do anything for God or very little for God because you're controlled by fear. I've seen people that's been controlled by fear. And it's been tormenting to them. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that fear has torment. It is tormenting. But thank God we have Psalm 91. We have Psalm 91. Not only Psalm 91, but we have Psalm 91. And I want to encourage you. You know, if you have to read, let me tell you something. If fear is trying to grip you, it doesn't have to be COVID-19, or it can be anything. It can be anything. If fear is trying to grip you, go to Psalm 91 and read it. If you have to read it every day, if you have to read it several times a day, do it. You know, if your doctor prescribes some medicine to you and tell you this is to be taken 3 times a day, guess what? You take it 3 times a day. Amen. And you're ready to fight somebody if they tell you anything different. No, my doctor say I'm supposed to take this 3 times a day, so get out of my face. I'm taking it 3 times a day. But yet, there's some more medicine for you right here. Medicine right here. And Pastor James is prescribing to you Psalm 91. Take it at least once a day or as much as needed. You cannot overdose on Psalm 91. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. You can't overdose on Psalm 91. But here's what happened. Natural medicine, it gets inside your body and affects you physically. It changes things physically, and sometimes, depending on what your condition is, sometimes emotionally and so forth. But let me tell you about the Word of God. The Word of God, not only does it affect you emotionally and physically, but it also affects you spiritually. Amen. This medicine here is for spirit, soul, and body. It's for spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you right now, Satan don't want you reading the Bible. He don't want you reading the Word of God. He don't want you reading Psalm 91, because it sets you free. The Word of God sets you free. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God has not given us the spirit of fear. And, you know, we can go through the Bible, and time and time again, we see where it says, fear not, don't fear. As a matter of fact, I want to turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 4. You know, we've been in Mark chapter 5. Now I want to go to the 4th chapter of Mark. I may not finish this tonight. I hope y'all are not in any big hurry. Just, you know, like I said, we probably going to jump back into this again next week if the Lord says the same. But just receive the Word of God, consume the Word of God, and let it digest on the inside of you. Here's the thing. Sometimes we just need to settle down and hear God's Word and meditate on God's Word. You know, there's times when we can get hyper, so to speak, and everything, and that's all right in its place. But there comes a time when we need to settle down and receive. Amen. Amen. Settle down and receive. Hallelujah. Sometimes the only time you're going to really hear is when it's quiet. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in praising God and magnifying the Lord. Amen. I mean, speaking of the whole counsel of God, that's part of it too. Praising God, magnifying the name of the Lord, shouting, running a little bit if you want to for God's glory. Yes. But there comes a time when we just got to settle down and receive. Amen. I hope when you go to your dinner table or at lunchtime, you don't sit down and take a bite and then jump up and take a run. Sprint through the house or sprint around the house and then come back and take another bite. By the time you finish, your food's going to be cold and probably won't digest real good. But anyway, do you have Mark chapter 4? Well, good for you, because I don't. I'm getting there, though. Amen. I was going there and then I stopped, but I'm going again. Praise God. Mark chapter 4. And again, we're talking about fear, because fear is running rampant around the globe today. Running rampant around the globe. Mark chapter 4. let me see. I think I'll begin reading at verse 35, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. A lot of things has happened here in Mark chapter 4, and we'll come back to it, but I'll begin at verse 35. It says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over, he being Jesus, let us cross over to the other side. Let us cross over to the other side. Let us cross over to the other side. I want you to get a hold of that. Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side. Very interesting. Wonder what did Jesus mean when he said, let us cross over to the other side. What do y'all think he meant? Say what, sis?
Going over to the other side.
that don't take a rocket science to figure that out, does it? Jesus said, let us go over to the other, or cross over, to the other side. So he meant what he said, didn't he? Yes. He meant what he said. Let's cross over to the other side. I had to stop there for a minute, but we'll move on. Verse 36, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, him being Jesus, as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. Everybody say, great windstorm. A great windstorm arose. And the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Water was running into the boat. All right? Pretty bad storm. But he, being Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Why would Jesus be sleeping in the storm? Well, we'll answer that question a little later. All right? Especially water coming onto the boat. Verse 38 says, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Now, that's kind of strong words to the Lord, wouldn't you say? I don't think we need to be speaking to the Lord that way, although some folks have. Sometimes you can seem like things not happening fast enough. Your prayers are not being answered seemingly. And sometimes people get frustrated. Now, those of you that are here, I'm not going to ask you to show your hand. But it's a good, I'd say it's a good possibility at some point in time in your life, you have been frustrated because things didn't happen the way you thought they should. And so, and you know what, you know what we do? We blame God. You know what the disciples did? They blamed Jesus. What is the matter with you? Don't you know that there's a storm out there? Don't you see the water coming into the boat, Lord? Things ain't going right. Guess what we're tempted to do? But you folks listening to me out there, first thing we're tempted to do, and I'm talking about Christians, we're tempted to blame God. That's the easy thing to do, to blame God. Well, he's Almighty God. That's no excuse. We're tempted to blame God when things don't go the way we think they should go. That's what happened here. Disciples, Jesus, our master, teacher, what's the matter with you? Don't you care about us? Can't you see that we're about to drown here? Don't you know that water's in the boat? Don't you do miracles? What are you doing sleeping? All righty, we'll move on. Verse 38 again, because I got to wind this up anyway. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And I can imagine, I'm just using my own imagination, now I can imagine the disciples saying, "Whew, man, that was a close one. Oh, but the master came through for us." Man, I don't know why he was back there sleeping while we were struggling and panicking up here, but he came through. But Jesus had something else to say. He wasn't done with it. Verse 40. But he said to them, everybody say them. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful?" Listen to this. "How is it that you have no faith?" Now, they in the midst of a storm, and Jesus just calmed the storm. Nice rebuke time. Because, listen to me, Jesus recognized the attitude they had. So why are you so fearful? But Lord, why is it you have no faith? You know what that tells me? Jesus rebuked them because they could have done the same thing he did. They could have rebuked that storm. But guess what? And listen, let me read verse 41, then I'm going to wind it up. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want to leave something with you. Musicians, you guys can come on. But I want to leave something with you this evening. They were amazed that Jesus spoke to the sea, spoke to the storm, and the storm ceased. And they're thinking, wow. But they were so afraid. They were so afraid. But they forgot one important thing. And I think you know what that is. Because I put some emphasis on it earlier. Jesus said, everybody say, Jesus said,
Jesus said,
let's cross over to the other side. Oh, grab a hold of that. Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side. When the storm came up, what the disciples should have done is remembered what Jesus said. Hey, let's stay calm, boys. Let's stay calm. Because the master already said, let's cross over to the other side. He is the word of God. The word of God has been spoken. And so you know what, boys? This is what we're going to do. Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side. We crossing over to the other side. Because Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side. And nothing is going to stop us from crossing over to the other side. You hear me, storm? We've heard from our Lord. He said, cross over to the other side, storm. So we going to the other side. So cease. Peace. Be still. Because the Lord has spoken. We're going to the other side. Hallelujah. Because they didn't realize it, but they had something to stand on. They had Jesus' word to stand on. Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. Like we say sometimes, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that if nothing happens. Well, Jesus didn't say, let's cross over to the other side if nothing happened. Did he? Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side. And you know how confident he was they were going to get to the other side? He went in the stern of the boat and went to sleep. Yeah. He went to sleep. But he taught them through this, don't get upset. You know, maybe you out there, God has spoken something to you or you've seen something in the Word of God. Don't get all upset. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Don't panic. Don't quit. Just stand on what he says. Amen. I'm convinced if the disciples had spoken to the storm, they would have got the same results that Jesus got. Because he had already said, let's cross over to the other side. But fear came on the scene. And fear and faith cannot be in the same place at the same time. As far as the disciples were concerned, fear was on the scene. Fear was on the boat until Jesus change things. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil steal your faith. You stand on what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this evening for you. For you. For you.